Once again, we find ourselves between word and table, embraced by God's grace, and listening for our text, Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine." In your childhood or youth, you may have listened to the Kingston Trio singing about the man who didn't return, and also perhaps this tune, "This Little Light of Mine." Or perhaps in a Vermont campground in the evening around the campfire, you saw the sparks and you remembered, of course, Job, "Man is born to trouble, like the sparks fly upward." But you may also have sung this very tune, "This Little Light of Mine." Jan and I had the privilege of hearing William Sloan Coffin's first sermon at the then healthy Riverside Church in New York City. And he ended the sermon on the parable of the talents. I will forego the pleasure you're welcome today by singing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." There is one issue here, though. A close reading of the text, that is a reading of the verse in its original, shows us that the "you" is plural. That is not "you," "I," "you," "she," but "you," "we," "you," "they." That is "you," "you all," "all you all." "Let your light so shine." So here is our gospel today. We, of course, listen to the synoptic gospels, hearing four voices in choral harmony. Beautiful it is. The light, almost inaudible, soprano voice of the Jesus of history. Just a touch of melody still there. Yes, too, in Luke. "Salt, light, city." Indicative, the mood. "You are. Salt, light, city." And then the most important voice, the alto voice, the voice of the primitive church in struggle, learning to remember what a tender mercy memory is, what we remember, how we remember, when we remember, to draw up what was needed for the struggles of that then present age. And then the voice of St. Matthew himself, who probably composed this verse as he assembled the sermon as a whole, guiding from indicative to imperative now. So let your light so shine. Not "you are," but "do so." And then the ongoing basso profundo, not soprano, alto, or tenor, but the life of the early church through the rest of the New Testament, all the way to the Kingston Trio and that Vermont campsite and Riverside Church 30 years ago. Let your light so shine before others. We have been blessed with beautiful music in virtually every setting in which we've been in ministry, including and especially here at Marsh Chapel. I am not like the minister who said, of all the challenges of faith I had, it was the music I heard on Sunday morning that shook me the most. No, we've been greatly blessed. Some years ago in the winter, we asked our friend, a baritone, who had played Daddy Warbucks on Broadway. So you imagine him in body and in countenance and in shaved head. We asked him to sing a solo of a familiar hymn. And he came ready to sing, but in the evening and then that morning, his voice was scratchy and his nose was red, and he said, "I'll do what I can." And he began, "O Lord, my God," and as soon as we heard his voice, we thought, "O Lord, my God." He made it through the first and half, then through the second verse, and then the organist leaned in to help him. You never know, Justin, when you might be called on to say something or do something. The organist leaned in and gave him a reprieve. He started the last verse, and after a word he said, I can't do it alone. You need to sing with me." And of all the solos in 35 years, that 200-voice solo is maybe the most memorable when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. There are no freelance Christians. It's a common ground, a conjoint venture, a mutual journey, a shared itinerancy. We need one another, especially when the hours of emptiness arrive. We need that Eucharist that carries us beyond what we can not quite say and certainly what we don't completely do. So once a month here, it is a healthy liturgical habit. We pause to allow the thanksgiving of the divine meal to reshape us around this common table. You let your light so shine. We need one another, and I need your voices too. You let your light so shine in a psalm of trust. It is trust that we know and share and love in the faith of Christ. And the Psalms, like the man who had his children memorize a psalm once a day in the summer and gave them a gift if they did, these are the Psalms that carry us in faith. Some of you will find a red hymnal in front of you, and if you do, you might want to just pull it out. No, I'm not going to ask you to sing, although it's tempting. You may find in the back of that hymnal the 23rd Psalm. It's a psalm, the 23rd, written by a shepherd boy himself who became a great king. And I'm glad to offer it as a psalm of trust, but I need your voice with me. So as I do, in the words of Robert Frost, you come too. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here is a psalm of trust in the preventing, interrupting, present grace of God there to shelter and guide us before we find any word to name it. You let your light so shine in such a psalm of trust. You let your light so shine in a word of faith as well, a word of faith that is healing, justifying, right-wising, making good. You know, 1 Peter 3 says that we are called to be ready to give an account of the hope that is in us. And sometimes when we are asked, we're more nimble than other times, and sometimes we're just flat footed. But here, and by the way, those who are holding that hymnal might want to turn in the back not to page but to number 887, because I may refer to it in just a moment. Here is a word of faith to guide us on which we can rely, as my friend Mildred said repeatedly, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Do you know, Wednesday we had some inclement weather. So in a midweek service, the preacher didn't show. Well, there's no worse sermon than the one you don't preach. But in that hour, one of our students was thrust into the pulpit. How proud I was. He had been in a class 2 weeks before where he learned to design a sermon, if nothing else, follow the text verse by verse, climb it like a ladder, and so he did. And a word of faith was spoken. You will find opportunities, challenges, times when you need to speak a word of faith. We have in this community faced disappointment with honesty and death with dignity in the last several days, more than once. And so we have had occasion, now I'm going to invite you in halfway through this, so be prepared, to hear the word of faith from Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to us this? If God is for us, who is against us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You let your light so shine, a word of faith. You let your common light so shine, in a poem of hope. Now, Marsh Chapel, we have a job to do week by week. We are learning to be a heart in the heart of this city and a worship service in the service of this city, and to build our ministry in voice and vocation and volume. And we need one another to do it. So we'll turn up the volume this week by inviting our friend and neighbor to join us in worship. I'll take this moment again to say to the radio congregation, if you listen to us once or 100 times, next Sunday you come and be with us in this nave. We'll celebrate the vocation emerging in our office on the bulletin board downstairs. There are 31 names of young people who in these years have found their way into or along the path of ministry. You come too. We have 3 grants available for those undergraduates who might like to pursue, explore, discern such a possibility. Your voice, Marsh Chapel, is carrying across the country. How happy I was to read this week there are 13 Dempster Awards given every year. This is the largest grant the United Methodist Church gives to those who are going to pursue theological education to teach. 13 of them. 7 have direct connections to Marsh Chapel. One is a pastor in the Freshwater Lakes, our neighbor in upstate New York, not quite the land of Coleridge and others, but you can still there see eternity in a grain of sand and heaven in a wild flower. One is a double terrier studying elsewhere. One is a dear friend of a staff person. One is our son-in-law in Princeton. 2 are graduate students here at BU, and 1 is present today. I won't give you her name, but her initials are Jennifer Quigley. 7 from 13, small but mighty, light, salt, city, a heart for the heart, a service in the service. We have work to do to let the gospel of truth emerge across this land and create by its own speaking. The gospel creates its own hearing. Congregations that are large and liberal and loving all across the land. You let your light so shine in a word of faith. I'm going to line out a portion of a poem to emphasize this right at the end. I'll just ask you to repeat when we get there. But it was William Blake who said, "And did those feet in ancient time walk upon England's mountains green? And was the holy Lamb of God in England's pleasant pastures seen? And did the countenance divine shine forth upon these clouded hills? And was Jerusalem builded here among these dark satanic mills? Bring me my bow of burning gold. Bring me my arrow of desire. Bring me my spear, O clouds unfold. Bring me my chariot of fire." Now you repeat the line. "I shall not cease from mental fight, nor shall my sword sleep in my hand, till we have built Jerusalem in England's green and pleasant land." We come to the table. Between word and table we are. We come to receive the grace of God, preventing and right-wising and justifying. We come to let our shared light shine. So when one is empty, another is full. And when one weeps, another is joyful. And when one has and the other lacks, there is connection. And so we bow together in prayer. Great art thou, O Lord, and greatly to be praised. Great is thy power, and thy wisdom is infinite. Thee would we praise without ceasing, for our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee. Dear God, make of us together, all of us together, light, salt, and city, that we might share thy grace in all of its manifold beauties with those about us, and prepare us for this coming season in this common table and this holy meal through Christ our Lord. Amen.